This is episode 99, recorded on March 8th, 2013. Peckard Pokes at Egg Beater Politicians.
Do you want to stream Peckard Pokes at on your iPhone or BlackBerry? Download Stitcher free today at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
You're on in 3, 2, 1.
This is Peckard Pokes at, and I'm poking at your news.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another fine edition of Peckard Pokes at. I am your immutable and unmutable host, Peckard Sonic. And this is episode 99 for anybody out there that's listening, or still listening anyway. Joining us tonight from the far right coast is Medusa Rents.
Oh, yes, it is me. Yeah. I'm here.
Yes. And join us
from, there.
Yes. Hey, I mixed it up. And join us from the far left coast is Joe Unseen.
99 episodes of Peckard on the Wall. 99 episodes of Peckard.
Take one down and you still have 99 because they're just duplicates. They just duplicate.
You got to take one down, then pass it around.
That's right. That's right. Be sure to share, friends. Don't keep this show to yourself. Share this with everybody you know. also, join us tonight from places unknown. Actually, he's Pennsylvania because I've been to Pennsylvania, and a lot of places are unknown, even to Pennsylvania. Is Nate from number one son from on YouTube? He had such a wonderful video. We had to have him join us here on the show.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And to think I was only one episode away from 100. Unbelievable.
We've planned it that way. Oh, by the way, tonight we are broadcasting live on Mixlr.com. That's MIXLR.com / Peckard-Pokes-At. The show is being broadcast live. We've been getting a lot of comments over over there. So if you like the show, go over there, take a listen. All the show over there is copies of everything that we've done from the beta podcast up to the most current one. And it just plays in succession day after day after day. And you get to hear all the old stuff without having to actually download it, so which is a big bonus, I think, because it's a pain to have to store all these files. I mean, the hell, I have to do it. And hard drive is at a premium, you know, nowadays. Anyway, also tonight, I would like to announce that Joe and I are going to be on a new podcast this weekend on Sunday. We're guests on a show called The Lying Ghost Show. And that's Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time at blogtv.com/people/The Lying Ghost Show. It's back here at Blog TV this Sunday at 7 p.m. 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. So if you want to come hear Joe and I talk with the folks over at The Lying Ghost Show, stop over and give us a listen. You might like it. Who knows?
I'm a little nervous about being on a live show.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I know. It's so scary. They might ask us questions or something. I don't know.
Fuck it. We'll do it live.
Do it live. All right. Speaking of live, let's get to our first story for this evening.
Building a better future. Science and technology.
NASA has been digging out into outer space, not with a shovel, but with telescopes, and they've been able to find some really interesting things out there. They have been looking at black holes that are out there. It turns out that black holes are not only a rare oddity, but they're actually pretty prevalent throughout our galaxy. And it's really interesting how they are able to measure how fast these things are rotating. You look at them, if you could actually see them, because you can't look at a black hole directly, otherwise your eyes get sucked right out. No, I'm just kidding.
But what does happen?
I'm coming to that. Actually, because the gravity inside of a black hole is so great that nothing escapes it. Not light, not sound, not radio waves, nothing. But it does produce X-rays. And how those escape escapes me. but they've been able to measure how fast the black hole actually rotates. Now, which is kind of interesting. There was they said here that if we know spinning black holes actually twist time, space-time, and distort it. So if you are actually standing near the event horizon at this particular black hole, now every black hole is, of course, different. They said that if you're standing at this particular black hole, you would have to turn around because your space-time is twisting, and you would be turning around once every 4 minutes just to stand still. You know, that's like being in Wisconsin at a bar. You know? They had all those drinks. They get the same effect. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, so they used the NASA X-ray telescope and an ESA satellite to measure low-energy X-rays that were being reflected off the black hole's accretion disk,
mm-hmm.
which is the material orbiting around the event horizon.
Right.
And by overlapping the data from the two sources, they were able to figure out how fast the black hole is spinning
right.
in the center of a galaxy 56 million light years away.
Wow.
Now, this is really exciting because measuring the spin of a black hole, according to the article, has been a problem for decades.
Mm-hmm.
And now that they know how to do it, they can measure other black hole spins and start to come up with better models on black hole growth and how galaxies evolve.
Yeah. And the thing is, the fact is, they're just so massive, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're thinking that black holes are probably in the center of most galaxies.
Mm-hmm.
And this way of detecting the spin only goes out so far. They're hoping that they can develop a way of detecting the spin, the speed of the spin, out even further, because the further into space you look, the further in time you see.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to see the evolution of black holes. They want to know how they grow and everything. So by measuring the spin of the ones close by versus the ones far away, they can compare that and develop a better model.
Yes, kind of like triangulation. In a matter of fact,
sinkholes of the universe.
Well, yeah, I suppose you could say that.
Well, it's like mini
to
golf.
To make it understandable,
mini golf.
<for layman. laughs>
Like mini golf.
If you get through the windmill and it sinks into the hole, then it worked.
Yes. But just your thoughts.
Again, you guys have said everything, but I will say this. Event Horizon was a great movie, and everybody should see it.
You know, there's a lot of, you know what's really interesting about black holes? We don't know everything about them. There's a lot of TV shows and movies that are based around black holes. There's actually a movie called The Black Hole, and the thing was Disney put it out. Everybody puts out these things they figure, oh, I got this special device in my drive, and I can just stay off the effects of black holes so I don't get sucked in. And it's like,
to that Disney movie was great.
Yeah, well, it was. And there was actually, I used to actually have the comic book version of that movie, too. Mm. Used to. Not anymore, but
those
used
little
to.
Robots with the red eyes.
Oh, yeah, those were great. I like those things. Do you have any last thoughts on that, Medusa?
No, I do not. I'm still learning about black holes, and I'm listening. I know more about morals.
Right.
On morals, I'm your gal.
Okay. All right. Nate, what are your thoughts on this?
Oh, that the Event Horizon movie gave me nightmares when I was a kid. It was terrible. But it was a great movie. You're right. No, when I hear stories about this, it just makes me wish I was born maybe 50 to 100 years from now, just to see everything that we could know about, you know, the black holes or anything along those lines. It's just amazing just how fast technology is moving and all the stuff we're learning now. I would love to be born maybe 50, 100 years from now just to see everything that we're going to get to know about the galaxy and the cosmos. And just amazing.
Yeah,
amazing
stuff. Oh, I agree.
I hate it when people say, I'm so glad I'm on my way out, you know, because I have no hope for the future. So to hear Nate say that I wish I were going to be born a few decades into the future to see what's going to happen gives me hope for the world, you know, because I'm older than you guys are. And I mean, I like
you are. You're such a young person at heart. I figure you were like 20 or something.
Medusa, you just turned 29.
Yes.
Yes, I thought you went to a Keisha concert. Every year.
Keisha concert.
There's another onion peel for you. Should all be crying.
Onion? Yeah. Okay.
No, but I have hope for the future. That's it. was a nice sentiment for Nate to say.
There you go. Did you have any last thoughts on that, Nate?
Yeah, that I don't want to see Event Horizon ever again.
Sorry, I'm going to give you nightmares again tonight. I'm going to flashback. PTSD, go see your therapist. That's my prescription for you.
Thank you.
Yes. Okay, well, since tonight we have our guest tonight, we're going to be doing just one story per segment this evening, and then we'll be getting we'll be getting back to back to Nate here in just a little while. So let's get into our next topic for this evening. Russell Crowe. He is a very interesting man. He made the video, not the video. He directed Les Mis. He's an actor in Les Mis.
He was in it. He was.
Right. You're correct. I read it wrong. I saw Les Mis. I thought Les Miserables, and I added more to it. So never mind. that's how my brain works. I'm sorry. I. He was an actor in the TV or movie show, or the movie Les Mis. He tweeted from
Les Mis.
How does it pronounce?
Les Mis.
Les Mis. Okay, all right. Les Mis. Les flat. Never mind. Anyway.
Now he's going to play with it for a while.
Yes, I'm going to be playing Les something everywhere we go. Anyway, he was down in Australia recently, and he took some time lapse photography. And he's claiming he saw a UFO. Now, I've seen things. When I was growing up, I saw a few things I couldn't explain. I mean, there are things out there that you just can't explain sometimes. And I don't discount that he thinks he saw something. But what I do discount is the fact that he's got a time lapse. And he put up a little video. It's about 22. It's 22 seconds long, and it shows the intervals of when this spaceship or whatever it was came across, and some people are speculating this is a yacht out in somewhere, I guess.
Daft.
Yeah, and I looked at the video very carefully. And it looks like something that was overlaid over the picture. I mean, it doesn't look real. I'm sorry, there is inconsistencies all over the place on this thing. Joe, your thoughts?
Poor Russell Crowe.
Yeah.
I am a fan. He's been in some of my favorite movies. But as you mentioned, he had a camera set up taking time-lapse photos out of his office window at night looking across a river.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw the photos, I first thought he caught a low-flying airplane because the lights made streaks in the pictures, kind of like car taillights in time-lapse photos.
And I saw the thing on the end there looked like a wing like you'd see on an airplane, too. So
right, exactly. I was just like, oh, it's an airplane, you know. Like,
yeah.
Fucking grow up.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too, yeah.
But I watched another YouTube video where they broke it down frame by frame, and there's also lights down on the water, mm-hmm. on the river,
mm-hmm.
and there's straight and angled lines connecting the light in the sky with the light in the water,
mm-hmm.
and the YouTuber concluded that Mr. Crowe photographed a sailboat passing by his office, and so the lines must be rigging and the lights by the water were the cabin lights, while the red light at the top was at the top of the mast. And people on Twitter were even saying to him it looked like a boat,
mm-hmm.
but he responded that it moved too fast to be a boat, and he called one skeptic an egg beater.
Yeah, I saw that. He's like, what? Because they asked him to post the original picture. He goes, that is the original photos, you egg beater. What? You know, I've heard a lot of people diss me over the years, and I've never been called an egg beater. I mean, like, aww. That would be – Joe, you're going to have to call me an egg beater tonight, I think.
Packard, you're an egg beater.
Thank you. Now my life is complete.
It's kind of a funny insult. I'm going to start using it.
It's weird.
I'm going to say you effing egg beater.
Well, yeah.
Someone in Australia is going to listen to this, and they're going to write in. They're going to be like, guys, you know, egg beater is like a really horrible insult to call somebody.
It
means
is it?
XYZ.
Probably.
We're going to be like, it means what?
It might be slang for something. I don't know. I'm weird. Oh, and I'm looking at this thing. And I think this is. I think it's a lens flare reflection from the bottom, and it just happens to reflecting up. I mean, they're, this is not a UFO.
It's definitely man-made.
Yes.
It looks like other man-made things caught in a time-lapse photo.
Yeah. Oh, talking primate in the chat room says it's Australian. So I
right. He also Australian. Called you an egg beater.
Yes, I know. Thank you. Thank you, talking primate. I go and beat my eggs now. Medusa, your thoughts?
The man is daft.
Yes, I think so in this case.
Look what happened to Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah.
He was daft. Look what happened to, what's his name? Not Columbo. Robert Blake.
Oh.
He was daft.
Yes, yes.
You know, some of these older stars get to a point where the cheese has slid off their cracker, if you know what I mean.
The elevator didn't go quite to the top floor. They're missing a few bolts from the screws.
One brick short of a full load. You get the meaning.
Yeah.
They confuse sailboats with intergalactic spacecraft.
Yeah. I hate it when that happens.
They believe bad publicity is just as good as good publicity.
Yeah. I can tell them right now it's not.
If you get pissed off at Twitter.
Yeah. Get pissed off because somebody said something on Twitter, you know.
Look at Justin Bieber.
Yeah. Well, I try not to. I look at him and I get these weird confusion things going on. No, I'm just kidding. It's like, is it a woman? Is it a man? I really don't know.
He looks kind of like Miley Cyrus's twin.
He looks like something. I don't know what, but he looks like something. Did you have any last thoughts on that, Medusa?
No, those are my thoughts.
Okay.
He is daft.
Yes. Nate, what is your thoughts?
I think Russell Crowe should be thanking his fans for having to put up with him singing in Les Mis. But anyway, I think what really bothers me is after 30 or 40 years of all of these blurry pictures, you would think that by now we would have the photography that you could actually take a clear picture of these things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'd have, you know, the blurry pictures of Bigfoot and the Loch Ness Monster. And here we are in 2013. We have cameras in all of our cell phones, and yet we're still getting blurry pictures. That just drives me crazy.
Well, when I drive, I take pictures, and those things come out blurry too. So, but he had something set up sitting still. He could have taken better pictures, you know.
Exactly. But I think if it really was a UFO, I really don't understand why at this point they just don't come down and just glass the entire planet, because they obviously have some incredible technology, and they don't need to sneak around or probe hillbillies or anything like that. They should just come down and just wipe the whole planet clean and start all over.
Yeah, you know, if they do exist, if the aliens out there do exist and they visit us, I think they're doing what we do to primates and zoos. They're examining us, you know, because look at our politics.
Exactly.
Nobody but a bunch of fucking monkeys would think up this shit.
true.
Chimpanzees. That's the problem, not bonobos.
Yes, well, bonobos, they love to play with themselves. There's also... Talking Primate found out that in the Urban Dictionary... it says that an egg beater is someone who's retarded beyond comprehension. Now I do feel real bad.
How dare he?
Yes. Well, we invited him to say that, you know. But now everybody's going to call us that, or call me that anyway. And it also refers to someone as a chronic masturbator. Bonobo. Boom.
Well, they're love makers, not war makers.
Right, exactly. We can learn a lot from the bonobo that way. Did you have any last thoughts on that, Nate?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
Welcome to the show, Nate.
Yes, welcome to the show. All right, let's get into our next topic. Minnesota, the state that sits right next to me on my west. Sometimes, Minnesota, you really surprise me. And then other times, you just fucking make me go facepalm. You are my neighbor. Oh, my God. The people over there. Why do people install these Republicans who are fucking nut bar crazies? Really? There's this Republican legislator. His name is State Republican Glenn Gubenhagen. I'm totally murdering his name. I don't even know how the man pronounces his own last name. He's apparently wants to make sure that people who want to get married, you know, same-sex couples, are not allowed to get married because he's got this whole religious thing going on in his head that gay people are a natural whatever. And then he came up with this. He said this. He says, when we're talking about gay marriage, we're not talking about an immutable characteristic like color of skin, okay? The human genome map was completed in 2003. There is no gay gene, okay? So the concept that you're born that way is an immutable characteristic is an unscientific lie. This guy knows absolutely nothing about biology. It's not so much that they're learning so much more about why people are being when they're born gay than we've ever had before, because we actually have the technology to research this. I mean, we research everything else. Why not that? There is, from what the information I found out about people who are born gay, many times what happens is that when the baby is being gestated or the fetus is being gestated, that the mother's hormones have a lot to do with how that ends up. It's like if you have like several boys and then you have the last one, then the hormones say, okay, well, you're going to be more feminine because they're trying to produce a girl in that case. At least that's from the way I've learned about it. So the mother hormones help the sex of the child ultimately. If I'm wrong, someone correct me. But this guy, he's such a nut job. Why do they keep putting this guy into office? Or why do we keep putting people like this in office, I should say? Joe, your thoughts.
I love hearing non-scientists telling us what is and isn't scientific.
Right.
According to this article, this guy, Minnesota State Representative Glenn Gruhagen, which sounds like an ice cream.
I'm glad you were able to pronounce his last name because I certainly can't.
Gruenhagen.
It's fun to say
Gruenhagen.
It does sound like an ice cream. I'm going to go get me some Gruenhagen after the
you
show.
You can't get the rainbow swirl, though. He's anti-gay.
Damn it, I'll get some other ones and throw them in there, some strawberry and chocolate and the whole nine yards, and I'll make it gay.
Neapolitan.
It'll be gay when I'm done with it.
That's right.
But he has a history of being opposed to equal rights and science.
Yes.
I don't know if you mentioned this or not, but he ridiculed biologists and sexuality expert Alfred Kinsey.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I didn't read that part. I read it here, but I didn't talk about it. Yeah.
And he even said that the concept of sexual orientation was invented by Sigmund Freud, who, in his words, is a moron and a pervert.
Yeah.
So this guy is. This guy is not an authority on science. He is instead allowing his own beliefs and bigotry to cloud his understanding of what he thinks is scientific.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And the thing was, he wants all the research that was done by Alfred Kingsley. He wants it all destroyed.
Okay. So to better understand Fahrenheit. Things, we should have less research.
Right. That's how we understand things. Because you. What's that, Medusa?
Fahrenheit 451. Burn the books.
Oh yeah. He wants to repeat at the Library of Alexandria. That's what's going on here.
Oh, Joe, I've got to get you that. I'm forgotten, so, darling.
I don't understand. That's what I really don't understand about these religious nuts. They keep wanting to set the clock back and send us back to the Stone Age. Fuck you, people. We're not going back to the Stone Age. We're not going back. No, not going
back.
They
didn't have ice cream in the Stone Age.
That's right. Yeah, no ice cream. I suppose there's someone that would give up ice cream to go backwards. Not me. Nope. Medusa, your thoughts?
Apparently they keep electing schmoes like this into office because this is the popular opinion in the state. I hate to say it.
Yeah.
But it's a reflection of the voters in that state. And what? 40, maybe, if we're lucky, 50% of voters show up. So you get who you get by not voting. You know what I'm saying? You can't complain about it. This is who the people who don't vote, this is who they want.
Right.
You know, and they're living vicariously through the people who are electing him, which doesn't say a lot for Minnesota.
Yeah.
I would not want to visit that state.
Well, it's actually, I have to go there. I've had to go there occasionally in the past because of my job, and it's actually a very pretty state, and there's a lot of interesting things you can see there, but
I avoid Arizona.
Well, it's easy for me to avoid Arizona. I'm nowhere near there.
When I'm driving your way, I avoid certain states.
Yeah, well, you don't have to drive through Arizona to get to Wisconsin. You know, you can go over it.
I do go over.
Oh, there you go.
Yes.
In fact, you go over it. You tell them when you get on an airplane. You tell them just go. Don't even go over Arizona. You just go around it.
Yes.
Don't fly near it. You're gonna script everything. No, I'm just kidding.
Get a cocktail and I'll fly this plane.
Yeah, I like Minnesota. I really do, but I wouldn't want to live there. Not with people like this in charge. Frankly, with Walker in office here, I barely want to even live here anymore. Really.
And that's my point, you know.
Yeah.
And I can't toot my horn about California's senators either at this point. So.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you there. Nate, your thoughts.
Well, I find it interesting that he made that comment long after the election. I doubt he would have been able to get away with that, you know, last October or November,
mm-hmm.
especially when you see what happened to Mr. Todd, legitimate rape Akins.
Oh, yeah.
Just it's mm-hmm. very interesting what people will do right after an election, hoping that people will forget about it in another year or two. But
yeah,
it's absolutely insane that people are still not only thinking these types of thoughts, but they actually have a microphone that they can get on the microphone and just, you know, broadcast it to everyone. It's just it's ridiculous.
Yeah, these people. Why are we listening to politicians when it comes to terms of science? It doesn't make sense. You know, you guys can make policy. You politicians out there, you want to make policy? Make it on stuff that's real. You know, stuff we have. You know, evidence for that. You know.
They should be listening to the scientists.
That's right. We should be listening to scientists. You know, what we should do is kick out the politicians and put scientists in there. Seriously, we should do that.
And base law on science.
Yes.
It should be.
Oh, yeah. No, well.
But then we're going to be getting into morals there soon.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying. I don't know if I could say we should base all laws on just science because, you know, because we're humans. We have emotions, so we have to balance a little bit there because otherwise we'd all be speaking in such long-term sequence of things. I mean, we'd all be really smart, but hell, no one else would be able to understand us. Hell, I have enough time to do it now.
Periodic table traffic laws would only be followed periodically.
You were going to say something, Nate? Go ahead.
No, I think it's clear that the people that eat up that type of message, they're not interested in the science. They're interested in hearing what they want to hear, and it's really sad. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's a great point.
Yeah, absolutely. That is a great point. That is a great point.
And hear it repeated to them over and over again.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, like creationists.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Really? Whoa, how about that?
Fancy that.
All right. Well, speaking of creationists, let's get into our next topic. Our topic tonight is discussion on the source of morality. The religious people out there, they seem to think that God seems to give them the source of morality. Well, they're fucking wrong. It's not possible. We're not going to have the source of morality come from a deity, which nobody can prove exists, for one. And if you think you're getting a source of your morals from a Bible, really? If you've actually read that piece of trash, and yes, I'm calling the Bible trash. I mean, sure, there's a lot of stuff in there that's pretty and poetic and everything, but overall, it's trash, garbage. 86 it. There's no morality in the Bible. It's the most immoral book I've ever read. And I have...
That's the infallible word of God, Packard.
I have more infallible words on my kitchen floor.
Whispered into the ear of the Pope daily.
Yes, no kidding. Well, the Pope can quit. You can too.
I'll be Pope.
There you go.
That'll be a great quick meme.
There you go. Now, the thing is with the source of morality, the people out there who think that morality comes from God, there's something. I came across this one page. I'm going to read a quote from here. It's kind of a thing that you could bring up with a creationist. It says, if we require God to know what is immoral and what is moral, his moral actions, then God cannot say we have a moral failing if we don't worship him. And another one is, if life is a moral test, then God cannot punish us for failing it if we have to randomly choose the right morals. It only makes sense to punish a person if he ought to have known he was acting improperly. So there's just a couple things there. It was on a page here at the Conversational Atheist and Challenges Response to God as the Source of All Morality. So if you get a chance to, I'll try to put that link in the show notes so you can take a look at this. It was a really good article there. It was there. We've been going round robin, so we're going to go start with Nate tonight. And Nate, what is your thoughts on the source of morality?
Well, it's really difficult. It's really difficult for me to really flesh that out. I mean, I've been struggling with that. I really only left the Christian faith maybe about a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. So it's I'm still torn between the way I used to look at things from the Christian point of view and from the secular point of view. So yeah, it's really tough for me to think about the source of morality not being authored by God, because that's the way I always thought about it, as being authored by God. And then
I can understand.
And
that.
You look about how he said, "Thou shalt not kill," but then at the same time he commands that certain tribes be killed, and, mm-hmm. and you wonder where's the morality in that.
All right, and when Moses, for example, came off the mountain, it says God supposedly told him not to kill, and he goes, first thing he does, oh, you're worshiping another idol. You're fucking dead.
Right, right.
So, did you have anything else you wanted to add on that real quick?
No.
Okay. All right, Medusa, your thoughts on the source of morality?
I spent the last 3 days reading about morality. So, I've got morality.
How moral of you?
What's wrong with me? I have a lot of free time.
Yes.
to read about these types of things.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, the Greeks didn't get it right. The Romans weren't great thinkers.
Mm-hmm.
So I came down to what they call a utilitarian view of morality. And that is... I asked my son, I said, do you know what morals are?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, yes. I said, tell me what they are. He said, well, basically, it's to get along with other people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And those people that can't get along, we have laws for.
All right.
And so morals is utilitarian. It's like a box cutter or a hammer or... a circular saw, or
I was going to say, I was just going to ask you, where are you keeping all these tools?
Exactly, or an egg beater.
Yeah, or an egg beater. Yeah, right. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I couldn't resist.
Yes.
So, and that view of utilitarianism goes all the way back to the original archaeologists, like Herodotus, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the most familiar to all of us.
Right.
And that when we first started to become domesticated, domesticating animals and planting crops, that we had to work together. So we couldn't fight with sticks and stones. We had to use sticks and stones to make dikes to move the water. I don't know. I'm not a farmer. not a farmer. I don't own a farm.
Mm-hmm.
But they had to get along to do these enterprises.
Right.
And out of that grew the utilitarian nature of morality. It's a practical matter.
Hmm.
And that's how I view it after reading for 3 days.
Okay.
And I it has nothing to do with the church. They said probably the two best espousers of utilitarian morals would be the Buddha and Confucius.
Yeah. Well, let's get Joe in here because we only got about 2 minutes left, and I'm sure he's
go Joe go
yeah go Joe
2 minutes
2 minutes just got a little over 2 minutes.
When it comes down to it, for the most part, people want to be happy, and they understand that they should treat others as they would be treated.
Right.
And this is often referred to as the golden rule, or it's also known as the ethic of reciprocity.
Reciprocity.
I practiced like saying that earlier, but it's hard.
Yes,
it's the ethic of reciprocity.
Now you got me saying it. Now you got me saying it.
Blah, blah, blah,
blah. Blah, 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 blah.
Reciprocity.
Reciprocity. Yeah.
And some people attribute this to Jesus, but the so-called golden rule predates Jesus and can be found in ancient cultures the world over.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer the while that is true, I prefer the explanation for that golden rule to be the biological one. That morality is a product of human intelligence coupled with feelings of empathy.
Right.
Humans evolved as social animals that formed hunter-gatherer groups. Early humans looked after their relatives as well as non-relatives in that group.
Mm-hmm.
A person that is moral and acts altruistically towards others, meaning they give without expecting return, they're seen as a suitable mate.
Mm-hmm.
And so these traits get carried on. And human cooperation and acts of altruism promote survival, not only for that individual, but also for the group.
Right.
So morality is natural and, in my opinion, has an evolutionary origin, not a fairy tale one.
Exactly. No, those are actually excellent points. Actually, I remember hearing those exact points several months ago. So, excuse me.
Yeah, and in my reading, too.
Yeah.
In my reading, too.
Yeah, and morals have an evolutionary track, not a religious one. So it's really cool that if we really dig into it, this is where we're going to find this. It doesn't need to come from a god or a deity or an imaginary friend. We build these out from ourselves. I actually had this conversation with a street preacher one day. So I said, "Yes, where do I get my morals?" I said, "Morals come from us. I don't want my house broken into, and I won't break into somebody else's. So we work on that. So we don't do that. That would be the right thing.
They're a functional necessity,
right? It's a way we need to function within our own society. So and Joe, you pointed it right out there. If somebody steps outside that box, then we need to take care of that. And that is going to be our time.
That was a great discussion.
There we go. Buzzer. There we go. There was another version where I've heard that, but we'll save that for another time. But, morality, not from a god. Not going to happen. Doesn't happen.
Right. So. Empathy plays such a huge part of it.
Yeah.
We empathize with people we don't even know. We can see a celebrity on TV and they can get sick or have an accident and we'll feel for them. We'll have feelings for them. But that's a person we don't even know. We've never met them.
Right.
You know, and that's just our empathy fueling our morality.
Right. And because like you said, if they get hurt or something, it's like, oh man, it's like you want to help them. That's
it's like people stopping to help someone, a complete stranger in a car accident.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, you see a wrecked car on the side of the road, you jump out, you call 911, you look inside like, hey, are you okay, you know?
Yeah, I actually had that happen a couple of weeks ago. We had a bad snowstorm out here, and quite literally, an accident happened almost right before my eyes. Well, it was happening behind me. I saw it in my rearview mirror, on the side mirror, I should say, and a car went right into the ditch right in the middle of the median. And just as it happened, I just happened to look back just as I saw it, and I immediately got on the phone and called 911. So, I helped him out in a way.
I think empathy came later. I think it was functional at first.
Oh, maybe.
Empathy came as we evolved. We became more sensitive to the needs of others.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
we became aware that the other people around us were also self-aware and also had desires and a desire to be happy.
Yes.
And that was an evolution in thinking.
Yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely. 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 Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, let's get into our next topic for this evening. Our funny tweet tonight comes from Bionic Dance. And she's always out on Twitter posting these really funny things there. And she said tonight, she said, why do people say, no, rest for the wicked? That's just silly. The wicked have minions to do stuff for them. Surely the wicked have rest plenty.
She nails a lot of funny tweets.
Yeah, she does. She's also out on YouTube as well, so...
She's good.
Yeah, she's good.
She's witty.
She is very witty. She is absolutely very witty. Does anybody have a comment on this?
No, Wait a minute. She's real funny and witty.
Yes.
She's on YouTube?
Imagine that.
I'm just kidding.
Nate, did you have anything you wanted to comment on this?
Oh, she's great. I think I'll start following her.
There you go. Definitely give her a follow because she's actually pretty funny. Speaking of follow, let's get into our shout out for this evening. Our shout-out this evening comes from me, and the shout-out is for T-Dawn414, and on her blog, her profile, it says, I collect everything M&M, and she has pictures of M&Ms and everything on there. Watch a lot of TV, am caregiver to my 100-year-old grandmother, now living with me, have dog and three cats. At MaineGirl414, please follow me, or please follow anyway, and she's in Maine. So, hey, T-Dawn, you just got your shout out. So if you're on Twitter, she's a very nice person. She's talked to me several times, and she says good morning to me or good evening whenever I get on Twitter. And she's just a very friendly person. So give her a shout and let her know you heard her on the show. That's TDAWN414. Okay, let's get into our next topic. Tonight's special guest is number one son from YouTube, and the name we've been using for him to, so we didn't want to just call him Hey You. He's kind of a closet atheist, and I can understand. He just said that he has been an atheist for very long, and I can understand when you're new being an atheist, you don't want everybody to know what you're doing because there's a lot of repercussions on that. So, but we welcome number one son to the show here. Number one son, Nate. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I live in Pennsylvania, and I spent my entire life in a church environment. It wasn't a very strict religious environment. It was more like just having a relationship with God and things like that. Had a great life with my parents. Didn't have very many issues or problems, and just grew up figuring that I was just going to spend the rest of my life in church and following after God and seeking after Him and all that stuff. And went to college, and that's kind of where the first chink in the armor kind of came in. And
that's usually when it first happens. Yeah,
yeah. Got to meet a lot of great people, a lot of great Christians, but they really believed differently than I did, and I'd never really thought that was the case.
Other people have beliefs. Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
Yeah, imagine that.
And then about 2 years later, got married, and my wife brought home a laptop, which gave me access to this thing called the internet. And we had to plug it into the telephone line, and it took like 30 seconds for a page to load. But it was fantastic because I could talk with all kinds of other people and all other kinds of Christians from all over the world. But then I found out that there was even more differences, and more chinks in the armor began to appear. And it just was a long process, I think, of me slowly losing faith after an extended period of time. And it kind of just all came to a head about 2 years ago.
Interesting. Well, you make some really wonderful videos. We played one of them a couple weeks back. That says God is no father. What inspired that movie or that the video rather. What inspired that video?
It was actually a conversation I had with my wife. My wife found out I was an atheist about 6 months after I decided to be an atheist, and we've had a lot of good conversations about it. But I know it's been really hard on her because she's very still much dedicated to God and to the church, and it's really rough because, you know, from her perspective, I'm in danger of going to hell, and it's just not a very good thing. So we had one of these very long conversations about hell and about, you know, what I thought was unfair about it, and it kind of evolved from that to the video.
Interesting. I always wonder where people get the inspiration for the videos they do, and this one was just amazing. I mean, the video clips that you used, those were from a movie. I recognize one of the actors, but I don't recognize the video. What was that from anyway?
It was from Pet Sematary.
Oh, okay.
And, I was the example I gave my wife was the idea of, well, if my son Ashton went onto the road, would I be willing to help him out, or would I just say, well, you know, I've already told him before that he shouldn't go out on the road, so I'm just going to let him get hit. And I was just trying to think of different like movies or pictures that I could use for that, and I thought, oh, wait, there's a clip in Pet Sematary where a kid runs out into the road, so I'll use that.
There you go. I'm not into horror, so that's why I didn't recognize the video. Does the boy get hit by the truck?
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
Obliterated.
But he comes back and he rips everybody apart. It's a great movie.
Oh, okay. Well, it's a Jesus movie. No, I'm just kidding. Well, yeah, think about it. Biblically, because if you think about it, in the Bible, when Jesus died, all the coffins opened up and all the great people climbed out of their graves, you know, according to the Bible anyway. You know, nobody else recorded it, but just the Bible, you know.
Right.
Only one of the Gospels recorded the zombie apocalypse in the Bible.
Yeah.
So, or during the resurrection. So.
Yeah. So what about some of your other videos? You went after Kenneth Cox. I'd never actually even heard of him. He looks familiar, but I've never actually heard of him. Do you know what the religion he actually follows? Yeah.
Well, the Kenneth Cox videos, they originated even prior to me losing my faith in Christ. I had done a lot of debating on different Christian forums, and some of the debates I had were with groups called the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and they use a lot of Roman history and medieval history to try to back up their end times beliefs. And,
right.
You know, I really didn't have a vested interest in, you know, their beef with the Catholic Church or anything like that, but I really enjoy that period of history, and it just really bothered me that they were just ripping things out of context. And so I would just debate a lot of people online with the Roman history and the church history and things like that. And I came across this gentleman who used Kenneth Cox material to support certain arguments, and I thought, this is the craziest thing in the world. I've never heard of some of these ideas being taught in any book that I'd read. Mm-hmm. And I looked up some of Kenneth Cox's videos, and I was just blown away by some of the just dumb things he was saying. So I thought, well, this deserves a YouTube response, even though I never had done a YouTube video before. I thought, I got to learn how to do it just for this guy.
Right.
Hmm.
Yeah, and you did a wonderful job. I mean, you refuted all of his crap. You did a great job on it. It's, if you get a chance to get out there and do that, and you come up to these other ones, it says questions for Christians. They're really short. They're about a minute long or less, and those things are really good. How while you're coming out of your Christianity, were these questions for you that popped up for you that you wanted to ask other people, or these questions you've asked other people and they just didn't give you a reply that you found sufficient?
Well, these are the questions for Christians are usually issues that I thought of myself while I was a Christian, but I never really got an answer to, and I kind of just brushed under the rug. So anytime I think of something that I really didn't get a clear answer for, I maybe jot that down and will possibly use that as an idea for a future question for Christian video. So yeah, that's where they originated from.
Okay, cool. I've got one for you. You can use this one. I came up with this one several weeks ago. If God is all powerful and he can do anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then instead of when Adam and Eve left the garden, instead of banning them from the garden, why didn't he just make them forget that they ate from the apple? They ate the apple from the tree, and they you can't bring in the free. They couldn't bring in the free will, breaking free will, because mm-hmm. when God created Eve, he just put Adam to sleep and said, "Okay, I'm just going to make Adam and Eve a wife," and didn't say, you know, "Hey, Adam, buddy boy, creation mm-hmm. of mine, are you a little lonely? You know, maybe you want to you know, get hooked up with somebody over here, you know, and I'm gonna hook up you with this little hot chicky poo, and you're gonna be all happy and whatever." And he doesn't do that. He just goes, "Okay, sleep, rip, make
right."
You know, so there's no free. So he violates free will. So there's no argument for free will there. So. But you're happy. You're welcome to use it. If you want to use it, you can say, "Hey, Packard decided inspired me."
There you go. All right, I'll put that down. I'll come up with a good script.
There you go. But yeah, I came up with all kind of questions too, and that was I came up with that one a few weeks ago. I actually tweeted that one out to Matt Dilhunty and the president of the Atheist, Mr. Atheist Pants, and
American Atheist,
right? And they both replied to me on the same day, so it was really cool. So.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I like Matt. I watch his videos all the time.
Yeah, I've been. Oh, I suck in all those videos if I can. Joe, did you have any questions for Number One Son?
Yeah, Nate. I over the past few days, I watched several of your videos, especially today. I watched a bunch of them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm impressed with your knowledge of history.
Mm.
You do a lot of like history versus videos where these preachers seem to be saying like, "Oh, okay, well, the Bible is true because this, 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 and this." And you're like, "Oh, yeah, well, actually," and you get really into like medieval European wars and who conquered who and stuff. And I was like, you know, I'll admit, I don't know a lot about European history, but what you were talking about, I found it very informative. I really enjoyed the Questions for Christians videos, like Packard was mentioning.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the Line in the Sand, which asked the question, what did Jesus actually write in the sand? It was mentioned in the Gospels. Father, Forgive Them, where it asked the question, did the people that killed Jesus, were they forgiven? Are they up in heaven with Jesus also?
Mm-hmm.
And then my favorite was the Stairway to Heaven video, which talked about the Tower of Babel.
Oh, yeah, I saw that one today, too. That was great.
Yeah, that was my favorite video of all the ones that I've seen. Aside from God is Not a Father, that actually is like that's your Stairway to Heaven right there. But your actual Stairway to Heaven video, the Tower of Babel, it talked about how the Bible describes them making bricks that builds this tower up high, and God has to come down, and he's like, "Oh my God, they're building a tower," and he like knocks it down, makes them all speak different languages, and then you're like, "Well, what about this tower?" And you show that tower of where is it, Baha'i?
Dubai, yeah.
Dubai, yeah. Dubai. And you show the International Space Station, and it's like, well, why isn't God pissed off about this stuff?
Yep.
Exactly.
You show the Voyager 1 spacecraft flying past Saturn, and you're like, and what about this?
Yeah, I had a lot of fun with that.
Yeah, you know, I actually brought up these same points during one of our earlier broadcasts. I think it was before episode 30, actually, when Eric was still on the show. And I said, well, how come if God made the tower, knocked down the Tower of Babel, why didn't he knock down the space shuttle when it was being built or anything else like that? Because obviously that would be a threat to him, obviously, wouldn't it? So,
yeah. You mentioned Adam and Eve before. I saw a really interesting tweet recently. They said if Eve was created to be Adam's companion, but she wasn't told to have children until after they ate the apple and got punished, then why was she created with a womb?
Oh, that's a good question. Oh, that's a good question.
Joe, listen to Packard.
Oh, Joe, that's a great question.
Hey, it's not my question. I saw it on Twitter. I was like, oh, that's a dynamite right there.
Yeah, it is. That's a good one. That's
write
a good
that
one.
One down. Write that one down now.
Yeah, better write it down, yes. Medusa, did you have any questions for Number One Son?
Yes, I did. I wondered what piqued your interest in the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Well, that's a pretty long story, but I'll try to sum it up as best I can. It actually began with a Mormon, of all things. There was a discussion forum that I was on way back in around 2000, and there was a Mormon that came onto the board, and he began to puff out his chest and talk about this great code that he had discovered that proved the Mormon doctrine. And it just basically turned out to be Seventh-day Adventist doctrine just packaged as Mormonism. So I did a lot of debates with him, and once I realized he was just borrowing from the Adventist church, then I just started studying what the Adventists believed and just began doing more research. So
I'm not even sure what they believe. I mean, I have a rough idea, but I mean, there's...
Well, my son went there for 2 years in elementary school, and there's only been two Greeks in the history of that school, and my family was one of them, and we amscrayed right out of there. My son came home one day and said, "I'm going to hell, Mom." And I said, "And how do we know this? I thought we were studying solar flares today." He said, "Let me see your science book," which I sat down and read the entire science book where they damned the Greeks, and that didn't sit very well with me. And it started out talking about the earth and going into the layers and the magma. And then it started talking about 40,000 feet into the earth, you reach hell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of that until that time. So I was.
How far down did they say hell was?
40,000 feet.
40,000 feet. You know,
to be specific.
You know, that's really bizarre because, you know, the mantle of our crust is only several miles deep, and then you hit lava immediately right there. So
exactly.
40,000. They must have been watching that 40,000 Leagues Under the Sea. That's probably where they got their number from.
Probably.
Yeah, and then immediately all the people who were raptured ended up in heaven, and it was pointed out that my son, being Greek Orthodox, would not be raptured, and he would go to hell. And boy, I had the principal and the science teacher and the science book in the principal's office in a New York second.
Yeah.
And had it removed from the school shortly thereafter. So that's why I was interested in how you came to blows with Seventh-day Adventist Church, as it were.
It was definitely a gradual process. Went from a Mormon to a Seventh-day Adventist.
You know, there's another Mormon you should check out. He's on YouTube. Is Mr. Deity. He's a former Mormon, too. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. He plays God. He's very funny. We're going to take some chat room questions. Anybody in the chat room has a question for number one son while we're waiting? I actually had another question. I had it in my head, and now it's gone.
I had another question.
Okay, go ahead, Medusa, ask.
What precipitated your transition from being a theist to being an atheist? What precipitated that?
Sure. I would say it was just looking at all of the fractures and divisions, at least doctrinally, within the church. Also, I grew up in a charismatic background, not quite Pentecostal, but, you know, we believed in the gifts of the Spirit and prophecy and tongues and all that. And, you know, there'd be plenty of Bible studies and seminars on how and why the gifts of the Spirit for the day, but I would never end up seeing it. And so I grew up with this dearth of seeing God moving when... At least the doctrine in the church said that God is supposed to be moving today. So I wasn't seeing God move. There was all this doctrinal division in the church. There's no oversight of the church, no one to explain what true doctrine is. Everyone will say, well, you got to go to the Bible. The Bible will tell you what the doctrine is. But everybody interprets the scriptures. So it's not like there's one monolithic view of the scriptures. So it was all those things coming together at the same time, and I think I got to the point where I thought I actually was backslidden and could go to hell. And the very moment I thought that I could go to hell for all of eternity, I just shut down and thought this is impossible. There's no way. Mm-hmm. I mean, I may in the past have said I deserve to go to hell, but I don't really think I believed it.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, I come across people who, say I'm going to go to hell, and they say that atheists send themselves to hell. Which I send them back with, and I've had this conversation with someone in person one time, and I asked them. I said, okay, if I'm sending myself to hell, and I say, okay, I choose not to go, who's sending me to hell now? And the guy just couldn't comprehend that. It's just like the gears like came to our screeching salt. I could actually hear and see the smoke coming out of his ears. So I was debating a real religious nut and this other guy who just happened to join us randomly, and everything I was saying, he was actually agreeing with me more than he was the religious nut that was joining him. So no one sends themselves to hell. And besides, hell is a mistranslation anyway. I've heard two ways on this. One is the hell is a garbage dump outside of Jerusalem that they used to send the dead bodies to, or the
that's in the past.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And
the Roman legionnaires would burn unclaimed bodies of criminals on this pyre, and they had so many of them that they were continuously burning the bodies and the garbage from Jerusalem. And so when Jesus was talking about the dead and the criminals and all that, he was actually talking about the garbage dump.
Right. And another possible translation is that hell, just from the old Jewish term, means death. In that case, right, everybody just goes to hell because everybody dies.
Exactly.
And that's another thing that always bothered me when I was a Christian, because I always believed in hell, but I would look back at the Jewish view of it, and there really wasn't one. I mean, there was maybe a passage in Daniel that said that the unrighteous would be shamed, but the righteous would go into glory or something like that. But
yeah,
it never said anything about eternal, you know, suffering, right, burning, anything like that.
Right. So it's a new concept.
It just always bothered me that, you know, apparently for 7,000 years of human history, there was no knowledge of hell. And then when Jesus, meek and mild, as Hitchens used to say, when Jesus, meek and mild, showed up on the scene, all of a sudden there's burning in a lake of fire. So
yeah, so it's all bullshit. Long and short, it's all bullshit.
Indeed.
I like your self-realization story, Nate, because it seems like you had a moment of clarity. You were just you were thinking about all the ways that people go to hell, and you were worried that you yourself would go to hell because of a misinterpretation of Scripture. But there were so many interpretations of Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
There's 34,000 sects of Christianity in the world, and they all have a different interpretation of you know, you can even get down to the individual, what they think it means. And so I find it very interesting that you were like, you know what? I'm here believing, and I'm reading the Scripture, and just because I might misinterpret it, I'm going to hell. You know what? That's bullshit. Like, I think that's a cool moment of waking up and just being like, you know what? Because, like, you know, personally for me, when I was younger, I would look at all the world religions, and I'm like, well, there's so many world religions. How can they all be right?
Right.
Yeah. They can't all be right, but they can all be wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like executing somebody because they don't get the exam correct.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you know,
the memo should have been more specific.
I always say that on the show. I'm never getting my I'm not getting my memos.
And lack of specificity.
Yes.
That's always bad.
Yes.
If God is all knowing, he should know how to write a better book.
Damn right.
You shouldn't even need the book. You should just be able to beam his knowledge right into us.
Why does he always make appearances to people alone in the wilderness? Why can't he come down into town square and be like, all right, guys, listen. I created all the universe.
Show up in the White House, you know, have a dinner with the president. Hey, Mr. Prez, you know, hey, you know, I'm God. And your Secret Service are all like frozen in time.
While the universe is billions of light years wide and there's billions upon billions of planets around billions of stars, I happen to show up on your planet to tell you, guess what?
Yeah.
You can't have a circumcision unless you're Jewish.
And you can't have sex before you get married because I like to watch you have sex, fart, fuck, you know, the whole nine yards, you know.
And do not eat those shellfish, damn it.
Not on Fridays.
Yeah, don't eat meat on Friday because eating meat on Friday is a sin, except for in Detroit, which is they gave away as a prize because they had the number one in the scrap iron drive. sorry, that's a little for George Carlin. Anyway, thank you very much, Nate, for joining us. Definitely give Number One Son a follow out on YouTube and his YouTube channel. The O and the one is Number One Son is actually a zero. It's NUMBER0NESON. So give him a follow out on YouTube, and we enjoy your videos. And my last question: are you going to be coming up with any more videos anytime soon?
Next week, next Wednesday.
Oh, excellent, excellent! Nice. We'll be looking for it.
That's what I was wondering. Is like what future videos do you have any ideas for?
Well, the easiest ones are the questions for Christians, because I can turn those out pretty quickly. But I was thinking of doing a history versus series on Alex Jones and a couple more Seventh Day Adventists and some other things.
Okay, cool,
nice, excellent, excellent. I subscribed to your channel, so I look forward to them.
Yes. I look forward to it, too. I mean, I've got quite a variety in there myself, but I really look forward to yours next week, and such interesting videos, too. All right. That's it for us tonight. Thank you very much, our special guest, Nate, Number One Son, for joining us here on the show. Again, what's that, Medusa?
Welcome, welcome.
Yes, welcome. Yes, welcome to live. Welcome to live.
Yes.
Hey, well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You are very welcome. You're welcome to come again and join us out here on the show again sometime in the future. We'd be grateful. Again, we are going to be on the Lying Ghost Show this next week. Or no, not this Sunday. Sorry, excuse me. This Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern, there it is, right here, on 7 p.m. Eastern time on blogtv.com/people/The Lying Ghost Show. Joe and I are going to be guest hosts on their podcast, and then they rebroadcast, or they save it, and they broadcast it out to, and it's posted up on YouTube, and they're also on YouTube as The Lying Ghost Show. Give them a follow and check them out, and we'll see you then. So, and if you want to catch this show later on, the interview and everything, all in one piece, it'll be on Mixlr.com/PackardPokesAt, Packard-Pokes-At, along with all the other shows that we do or have done. And next week is our 100th episode. We've made 100 episodes. Unbelievable that actually people want to stick around and listen to us for 100 episodes. And the fact that I'm still doing this for 100 episodes. Well, here's to 100 more. And thank you everybody that's been on the show and has joined the show. Oh, and if you want to get in contact with us, we're going to show you how to do that right now.
Would you like to contact us? We can be reached 28 hours a day, 8 days a week as PackardPokesAt on Twitter and by email at PackardPokesAt@gmail.com. Your host, Packard Sonic, and his very honored and crazy co-host with occasional guest hosts who enjoy your comments or suggestions. You can also listen to the show on iTunes, YouTube, Mixlr Radio, and Stitcher Radio. Click the like button on Facebook/PackardPokesAt to join in the conversation. While you're there, don't forget to snap on the Focus on Photography group. Please rate, comment, subscribe, retweet, and repost the show wherever you can. It really helps us out. Please donate whatever you can afford to help keep the show running. Visit PackardPokesAt.wordpress.com for more information on this or any other episode. We hope you enjoy the show. Thanks for listening and for your support.
Hey, Joe, you did an excellent job on that.
You did.
Yes.
I thought you were asking for one of us to start. No. I didn't know what to say. Like,
I'd laugh, but I'm a little out of breath.
Yes. He gets on there. He got on there. He did all the video manually all at one time. Like, he's in there punching buttons right now. Trying to catch up.
Boy.
No, you did a good job on that, Joe. Thank you.
You did. Excellent.
Yes. Okay. All right. Well, anyway, that's it for us tonight. Thanks, everybody, for coming and sticking around with us. We started a little bit late tonight, but by the time you listen to this, it'll be whatever time it is you want to listen to it at, so it'll never be late. Thanks again for everybody coming. Come to next week, our 100th episode. Don't miss it. It should be great, just like every 999 before. Well, it's this show. You never know what you're going to see or hear. That's it. Thank you for coming. This has been Packard Pokes That. We just poked at your news.
And that's a wrap.
Hey, kids. It's time again to talk about your favorite subject. Yay! Contradictions. In the Bible,
the order of creation. Genesis 1, 20 through 21, and 26 through 27. Birds were created before Adam. Genesis 2, 7, and 2, 19. Birds were created after Adam.
Did you like that, kids? Want to hear more?
Yay!
Sorry, but you're gonna have to wait until next week.
Oh.